This weekend, Vanessa White and her two children will be laid to rest in County Clare. They were shot dead at their home in Maguire's Bridge, County Fermanagh, last Wednesday. The femicide rate in Northern Ireland is the second highest in Europe. Today, we're asking why. It's News Talk Daily, I'm Ciara Doherty. And a service of removal is taking place at St Mary's Church in Maguire's Bridge today for Vanessa and her two children. James Rutledge was aged 14, Sarah Rutledge just 13. They died violently at their home last week. The only suspect in the shooting, Ian Rutledge, died in hospital on Monday. Vanessa, James and Sarah's funeral will take place in the small village of Barefield in County Clare before they're buried together in nearby Temple Mailey Cemetery. Their deaths have again drawn attention to the high levels of femicide and domestic violence in the north of Ireland. For several years now, Northern Ireland has had the second highest rate of women being killed by men in Europe. And I think we should recall the names of those women and girls whose lives were robbed in the past 14 months alone. Kat Parton, Patsy Aust, Sophie Watson, Montserrat Martorell, Tavia DaCosta, Rachel Simpson, Mary Ward, Karen Cummings, Sarah Montgomery, Vanessa White, Sarah Rutledge. Well, with me now is Tanny McCorry, and Tanny is the Chief Executive of White Ribbon Northern Ireland, a charity that's working to raise awareness and tackle the causes of violence against women and girls. You're very welcome to News Talk Daily, Tanny.
Thank you for having me.
Tanny, we know as of the end of June this year that in the previous 5 years, 27 women have died violently at the hands of men in Northern Ireland. And obviously, sadly, that figure has increased again, given what we saw in Fermanagh at the weekend. Just give me a sense of the scale of the problem here.
Violence against women and girls is a massive societal issue in Northern Ireland. If we want to look at a comparison, there are around 1.9 million people in Northern Ireland, and that's compared to about 5.15 million in the south of Ireland. And we know that the numbers of women and girls in Northern Ireland from 2020 who were killed at the hands of men amounts to 40% on the island of Ireland as a whole. So we know that there is a massive issue and something which has been allowed to continue for too long.
So that's a huge, huge number, Tanny, relative to the population of Northern Ireland.
It's a massive number relative to the population of Northern Ireland. And if we think of what Northern Ireland looked like as well, there are a lot of really rural areas. There is a small population, small communities. So it is really, really shocking. The levels of violence against women and girls in our country. It's something that we need to get hold on. It's something that we need to do something about. We are very much, at my organisation, White Ribbon Northern Ireland, we are very much about taking action on this issue because we feel that it is so urgent. People are losing their lives and the people around them are so deeply affected by this. And the cycles that the violence allows to continue will continue for years and years and years, and we won't see an end to this unless we do something now.
I did read a statement in a newspaper report that said that per head of population, Northern Ireland is one of the most dangerous places in Europe to be a woman. They indicated that it was second only to Romania. Is that correct? Is that accurate?
So from all the research that we see here as well, that would be correct. And even from our work, when we speak to women and we speak to young women, they will say themselves that they do not feel safe in public areas when they're walking home with their headphones. But more so, the issue seems to be at home. The issue seems to be at home with people that they should feel safe with and they could feel like they can trust. So we know that domestic abuse is a massive issue in Northern Ireland. And we know that most of those women have been killed, their lives have been taken by someone who should have loved and protected them or someone at some point that they trusted.
Yeah, I'm looking here. Between January 2020 and October 2024, of the 24 women murdered in Northern Ireland, 21 were killed in their own homes.
Yeah. And, you know, home should be a place where you feel safe. Home should be, you should know that you can go home and feel a safe place from the rest of the world, which doesn't feel so safe at the moment for a lot of people, women and men. You know, there's so much going on at the minute that home should be a safe haven. And when we think about those people who, when they go home, that's the place where they feel on edge. That's the place where they need to risk assess. That's where we all need to step up and do something about it. The stats show 1 in 4 women will experience abuse in their lifetime. And my thoughts are, although that is the stat, and that's the stat that's used in most training workshops and by most charities, I know it to be a lot higher. Because when I speak to even the women and girls in my own life, I know it to be a lot higher because I think that most people have experienced something that they would describe as abuse. Because no doubt there is a culture in Northern Ireland which has allowed this to continue. There is a culture which has perpetuated violence against women and girls. In the high levels that it is now, it doesn't seem to have changed. You know, when we look at my granny, my granny's granny, my granny's granny, the levels of violence against women and girls and the levels of domestic abuse don't seem to have changed. I can remember when I was little, I can remember hearing the adults talk about relationships. And I can remember them saying things like, well, he's not very good to her. And now, as an adult 36-year-old woman, I'm looking back on that and thinking that was a real minimization of domestic abuse because that's what they were talking about. But that culture learns about addressing that culture, which has allowed this to continue. And the small behaviours that we have that we all partake in sometimes, you know, the victim blaming attitudes, the trying to minimize actions.
I mean, the stat which you mentioned there, Tony, was 1 in 4 women will have experienced some form of abuse in their lifetime. But there is extraordinary data that comes from the University of Ulster from a report called Every Voice Matters, Violence Against Women in Northern Ireland. It was published in 2023, in September 2023. And it said that 98% of women in Northern Ireland have experienced at least one form of violence or abuse in their lifetime. 50% experienced this before their 11th birthday. 7 out of 10 had experienced some form of violence or abuse in the previous year. I mean, do these statistics reflect what you're seeing?
Absolutely. So there was 540 women in that study and 98% had experienced some sort of violence against women and girls, some sort of abuse. And that would reflect what we are seeing. Even we do work across the prison service in Northern Ireland. So we work in all 3 of the prisons in Northern Ireland. So they may be in for driving offences, they may be in for an offence that is violence against women and girls, or they may be in for something around drugs. But we do it with all. What I will hear from them is that a lot of their backgrounds, they have seen violence against women and girls. So they witnessed the abuse of their mother, they witnessed the abuse of their sister or people around them. We can draw from the experiences of women and girls, absolutely. But even when we see how it has affected the men who love those women and girls, it's such a big issue.
Culturally, you said there's an issue here. That's why those figures seem to be so much higher in Northern Ireland than other places of comparison across Europe. Is there anything else, any other specifics about Northern Ireland that make things worse there than the average?
So from our experience, and I really believe that is important, experience. From our experience in speaking to men and boys and people from all different cultures, from our experience, what I believe is there's a perfect storm of paramilitarism where when you look out into your community and you see control as the goal, then when you look inside your home, if you see a degree of control inside your home, it's going to be normalized. It's not an excuse, but it's a reason. And we can see unrest. We can see really ingrained attitudes and beliefs around a woman's place and a man's place in society. And they're without challenge a lot of the time because young people are being really starved of the information they need around this. And that's something we're trying to combat. We work in 40 plus schools across Northern Ireland, but it's needed more. And then we see that there's a lot of rural areas, as I said before, where services just don't have capacity to reach. You know, services struggle. So that's why we concentrate on prevention to stop the harm before it occurs.
The psychologist, Dr. Katrina McLachlan, I'm sure you're familiar with her. She works out of Queen's University Belfast, has also written and spoken about this. And she said that in post-conflict societies, they often experience heightened domestic and family violence against women and children. And there's also intergenerational transmission of trauma, given what was experienced during the conflict there and during the Troubles. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Especially the young men we work with, that's really evident. It's the normalisation of violence in general and the trauma that they have experienced, usually from domestic abuse in their childhood, has just changed the whole trajectory of their life. And what I see from that when I work especially with young men, maybe in their 20s who are in prison, they will speak about domestic abuse in their childhood. And you can see how their mother hasn't been allowed to be the mother she could have been because she was constantly risk assessing her whole life. And she, you know, she wasn't able to get the PE kits ready. She wasn't able to do this because she was constantly trying to keep herself alive for herself and her children. And you can see the struggle there, and you can see the struggles that that's perpetuated. I am a big believer that actually violence against women and girls is the stem and the root of a lot of our societal issues in Northern Ireland. And it's something that we're trying to combat. Our organisation, we work with men and boys. We have conversations with men and boys. So we have a programme called Listen, Learn, Lead, which is a preventative programme. The first part, listen, is about listening to what the issue is to begin with. You know, something that we've just talked about there, acknowledging that there is an issue to start off with, acknowledging that violence against women and girls is an issue that is worth speaking about for the 6 week period. It's worth, you know, drumming down on, having the conversations around and getting to the bottom of. And that's an important part, first of all, because that's about building empathy. And that's the most important part. The second part is learn. It's about understanding the culture which has allowed this to continue. And then we go on to lead, which is about, well, what do you do? If you see something in front of you, what do you do if you know something's not right? What steps can you take? Because one thing that's frustrating is hearing, you know, someone should do something about this. When, to be honest, we all could do more. We could all do more. There's steps we could all take, and we need to focus in on that. What are the steps we can take to do something about this?
The Northern Executive has put together a strategy on ending violence against women and girls. What is that strategy? How is it being implemented?
So that strategy was formed through a co-design process with regional delivery partners, including ourselves. That strategy is just a strategy. It is a pile of pages on a table or a pile of files on a computer if it is not actions. It has to be actions. We need more conversations. We need more workshops. And that's where I see my part in this now, and I see my team's part. It needs to be having the challenging conversations. We can't preach to the choir anymore. We have to go into the most challenging environments and having the difficult conversations and having really honest conversations. I think to leave room for reflection on how we could have all played a part in perpetuating the culture which has allowed violence against women and girls, and the way we have maybe turned a blind eye to things, and maybe turned away when it was easier, maybe not had conversations face on. And I think, yeah, it is a strategy and it is a good plan, but it needs the people behind it. And I suppose we are those people, and I urge more people to be involved.
All right, Tanny McCrory, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us on News Talk Daily today.
Thank you.
Well, if you've been affected by any of the issues raised in today's podcast, support is available. You can call the Women's Aid National Free Phone Helpline 24/7. It's 1800 341 900 or email helpline@womensaid.ie. Well, I'll be back here again tomorrow with another edition of the podcast. Until then, from me, Ciara Doherty, take care.